Thank you, everyone. I'm very pleased to be able to speak with you this afternoon about one of my heroes, Senator Rosa Franklin. I'll be talking about her life, her work, her career as a policymaker, advocating for social justice and health equity. I first met Senator Franklin in 1992 when I started at the University of Washington Tacoma Nursing Program. She was our state senator. And she was absolutely gracious about presenting to students in my health policy courses and my health systems classes, meeting with students at legislative day, and she showed up at for a 1 o'clock Nurse Week celebration event after she had been up till 5 in the morning passing a 1993 health care bill in Washington State that was later rescinded. But I have followed her life and career over the past 22 years or so and have collected information about her life and career. I do not have any disclosures, and what I hope you get from this presentation is to talk about the influences of a professional nursing career, community activism, and family life from an African-American perspective on a legislator's policymaking agenda, and also to discuss policymaking as a means for nurse leaders to achieve health equity. Where are we situated? I am from Tacoma Pierce County. That is about 30 miles or so south of the city of Seattle. You can see Pierce County is large. It's rural. You can see a white mountain. That's Mount Rainier, 14,000 feet. We have a very rural part of the county. We have a dense Tacoma core, about 200,000 people, with an interstate that runs through our city. So we have water, islands, and all of that in our Tacoma region. Senator Franklin represented the urban core area in Tacoma. Here is our photo of Senator Franklin testifying for domestic partnership. And I would like to talk about her career policy priorities as being consistent with some of the central concepts in public health nursing, and in professional nursing. So I'm going to start by defining advocacy, social justice, very briefly, and equity. So I'm using the ANA's definition, similar to my colleague who turned to the ANA social policy statement. But in that document, it states, and this so guides and really reflects Senator Franklin's legislative priorities, the principle that all persons are entitled to have their basic human needs met regardless of differences in economic status, class, gender, race, ethnicity, citizenship, religion, age, sexual orientation, disability, or health. This includes the eradication of poverty and illiteracy, the establishment of sound environmental policy, and equality of opportunity for healthy personal, professional, and social development. Truly, that really describes Senator Franklin's legislative agenda. So what about advocacy? I like to tell my students, it's simple. It's just speaking out on behalf of others. The quiet leadership that was described, I like that. I'm going to look that up, that Dr. Clark referred to, leading quietly. But a more robust definition by ANA, the act of pleading or arguing in favor of cause, idea, or policy on someone's behalf with a focus on developing the community, systems, individual, or family's capacity to plead their own cause or an act on their behalf. And finally, policymaking. Senator Franklin witnessing the signing of domestic partnership legislation with our former governor, Chris Gregoire, the act of a process of setting or directing the course of action to be pursued by the government. So Senator Franklin's life really embodies all of these things, the social justice perspective, a policy advocacy perspective. So as I mentioned, what kinds of data collection methods have I used? Historical methods. But they included interviews over the years with Senator Franklin, notes from her many presentations. I reviewed newspaper articles covering her public policy work, her advocacy work within the community, and did an investigation into the legislation that she sponsored. So I think these concepts are ones that really influence her policy priorities. And they are family cultural background, professional background, community activism, are all concepts that really are quite consistent with the literature on African-American women policymakers as well. So the intersection of all of these things is really quite important in terms of explaining African-American women legislators. I think in nursing, we need to add in her professional background as an important aspect of the social policy agenda. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Senator Franklin's background and individually. So she came from South Carolina. I'm so thrilled that I could be here and exist here in this southern part of our country to just get a better sense of the South. Her very, very strong extended family background in South Carolina is impressive. She was born in 1927, so she's 87 now. Still very vibrant. She was born in a rural farming community outside of Charleston. One of 11 children. And her family was college educated, and they impressed upon her. She said, we were very, very, very strict about education in my family. She was going to go on. There was no doubt about it. She lived on property that her uncle had given to her father, and her uncle was an ex-slave, and this uncle allowed the family to build homes on it, and that property still exists today in South Carolina. A major influence on her life was her culture. I'm going to read you a quote from her. I came from a background of African Americans, of which I am a very, very proud African American woman. First of all, I'm an American. And if you don't know our history, you continue to repeat the same thing over and over. So knowing my history and growing up around a very large, extended biological family who were engaged in the community and really cared about the community from an early age, I saw that. And I saw that my family required me to be respecting of others, regardless of their color of their skin or where they were from. Because if you respect each other as a person, then you can. That's an important lesson I learned. She also learned about giving back to the community. She also talked about the faith, her faith as being very important. If you know the African American community, she said, it's different. Let's put it that way. When I grew up, African Americans were very much into their faith. And the church was a gathering place. And it was that way because of segregation. This is where a lot of our social movements started, because when you worked together, you could make a difference. If you wanted to make a change, it wasn't fair that people were being treated that way. When you look at our history and how African Americans were treated, having contributed to building a country, yet you had to endure being lost in that history. It shouldn't have been that way. It shouldn't be that way. So she said, her quote was, you always want to speak out about injustice and inequality. In her early to middle adult years, Senator Franklin pursued nursing. Her aunt was a nurse. And she went to Good Samaritan Waverly Hospital and graduated in 1948. That was one of the hospitals that provided nursing education for black women at the time. It was an era in which nursing was segregated. Nursing education was segregated. She was in the last cadet, U.S. Cadet Corps, in the Nurse Corps. She worked in labor and delivery at New York Brooklyn Jewish Hospital, and she witnessed the atrocities of the concentration camps that was symbolized by the registration numbers on women's arms. She never forgot that. She also worked in mental health. She worked with military personnel. She worked in the VA system with Vietnam War casualties. She worked in the public sector, the private sector. She was a generalist in nursing, and she said that helped my legislative work. So there's a positive thing for being a generalist in nursing. She had three children. She worked in the European field hospitals. She lived as a military spouse in Germany. She became involved when she came to Tacoma in women's health, and she became one of the very early women's healthcare specialist. So she went through a program at the University of Washington called GynaCore in the 70s. And her parents told her she always had to be involved wherever she was. So she became engaged. She said, I was in the Girl Scouts. I was involved with Women of the Chapel. I did work with the League of Voters, the Democrats, the military spouse groups. Wherever she went, she became engaged in her community because that was her personal family ethic. She continued on from her nursing degree to get a bachelor's in biology and English and a master's degree in social science and human relations. Why not a BS in nursing? Because she would have had to repeat many of the courses that she had already taken in her very fine nursing diploma program. So that influenced her to actually start the campus that I worked at, and for the program that I'm working in, an RN to BSN and now a master's program, because she felt that it was an injustice to have to repeat courses that she had taken to continue on to achieve her BSN. So she did not get a BSN because of that. She also related her experiences with discrimination. She said, "I have not been served a meal in a restaurant because of the color of my skin." She said, I was discriminated against in terms of purchasing a home in Tacoma in the 60s because of the color of my skin. And this is my lifetime. It's appalling. So Senator Franklin went on to challenge this. She had many nursing leadership roles. She looked at the community's health needs, and then she put into action plans to make changes. For example, I'm not going to go through all the detail, but she worked to develop a sickle cell anemia clinic in Tacoma. She established a women's clinic. She was a regional director in long-term care and in health care. So she took action based upon her observations and knowledge of the community's health. She became involved in civic activities, and she was tapped to run for office. She's quoted as saying, "I had no intention of running for state office. I was encouraged by my colleagues to run. I knew the healthcare system was not meeting people's needs, and many were falling through the cracks. I knew it could be better. Healthcare cost and access became important issues." So she became more involved in the community. She was a Democratic precinct chair for 40 years. She went to the Democratic National Convention 3 times in her career, 76, 88, and 2010. She worked in a citizen budget committee and the county planning commission. So she became very involved in the local community, ran for city council, didn't run, but then ran for state legislature and run as a representative and was appointed to the state senate, ran again, and on her own, she was the first African-American female elected to the Washington State Senate and served in that role for almost 20 years. So she had led many leadership positions within the Washington State Senate, president pro tem, and she was whip, and I'll go through a few other offices that she had in terms of leadership. She served on a public health financing committee, veterans affair, military affair committee. She was vice chair of health and long-term care and Senate rules. That's really important because that's when you can get the bills moved. So she had many, many activities throughout her career. I want to reflect for just a minute on the proportion of women in state legislatures. And I'm very proud to say, from 1993, I'm quoting here, to 2004, Washington State led the nation in the percentage of elected women in the state legislature. We had almost 41% between 1999 and 2000. That's stunning, almost 41%. However, it's very distressing to me that the numbers are declining. And in fact, our state nursing association is concerned about the fact that right now in 2014, only a third of the state legislature are women. So that we need to change. However, African-American women in state legislatures nationwide, it's a little bit more positive. This number, 10% of the women, not 10% of the legislatures. I didn't put that in my slide. But nationally, there seems to be a slight uptick in the percentage of African-American women legislators, which is a nice thing to see, that we have about 13% of the women who are elected to office in state legislatures are African-American. So a little bit about Senator Franklin's personal and political style. Her personal strengths, I think, really did reflect her personal and professional nursing skills in her collaborative leadership style. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. She rose above, in many ways, the discrimination that she experienced, and her legislative priorities reflected that. She talked about running into racial barriers. She said, "A long time ago, I came across racial barriers as a kid. I'm comfortable with who I am. I'm female, I'm African American. This is not my choice. I refuse to let race and gender be a detractor from what I want to do. It's others' problem, not mine." So her personal strength and her fortitude, that tenacity, she just kept going forward, and that is leading quietly. Right? So we had a trauma care problem in our local community. I'm going to tell you about how she was able to bring people together. She talked about that. And I said, well, tell me about what you did. What did you do to make things happen? And she said, I was able to bring people together, and this is how. She said, we had difficult issues where people did not seem that they could come together to solve issues. I'd speak to my caucus, to whatever committee I sat on, or other leaders, and I would say, okay, let's do this. I'd get both sides together, and we'll see what we can come up with and solve this. So relating her example about community trauma issues in Tacoma, she said, we had a real problem with our trauma care system, and we did. Hospitals didn't want to take trauma patients. So I brought together people. We had meetings across the city. We brought the hospitals together, the doctors together. Now we have a working trauma system in our county. So she knew who to call on, and she would bring them together, and people would come. So her central themes in terms of policy are vast. I've listed them here, and I'm going to just highlight a few. In terms of youth and families, she sponsored a working tax family exemption. She fought for stronger domestic violence bills. She's a very strong supporter of education, K-12, and she's passionate about that. All children deserve an education. All children deserve a public education. In terms of health, she sponsored legislation to prevent insurers from discriminating based upon genetic information. So there was a time at which we were just getting genetic information, for example, breast cancer genes. Her interest in women's health, breast and cervical health, led her to sponsor legislation to prevent discrimination by insurance companies. She also sponsored legislation about post-mastectomy hospitalization coverage. Stricter licensing for adult and family boarding homes. She sponsored housing legislation to prevent discrimination, access to care. We had a wonderful act that was later rescinded in 1993 in our state, so Massachusetts did beat us to their health reform. Marriage equality is a very important theme for Senator Franklin. She's very proud to say she's been married to the same man for 67 years. And she would speak eloquently about, I believe in marriage. I believe that two committed adults have the right to live the way they want to live, and they should have the right to marry. So she's a very strong component. And she also looked way beyond just nursing and health and education issues, but she proposed a state income tax, very unpopular. We don't have a state income tax yet in our state, so we have a very regressive tax system. And she tried hard to institute legislation that we still haven't made it through. A few other quotes, and as I wind down, the environment was very important to Senator Franklin. In 1995, she sponsored a bill that supported a study, the first GIS study in the state, to look at the relationship between low-income and minority populations and hazardous waste sites. 1995. So very, very forward-thinking, and she was quoted, if you do not have a healthy surrounding and a healthy environment, your physical health is going to suffer and your economics are going to suffer. That is always my premise. Briefly, I want us to now think about social justice, public health, and policy. A quote by Gostin and Powers about social justice and public health, and I think I'll just read the last piece of it. The aims of public health deserve a great deal more societal attention and resources than the political community has allowed. And I think that is an important call for us to action as public health professionals and as nurses. Senator Franklin said, I continue stressing to nurses the importance of moving out of their own space and becoming involved in civic affairs, being aware of who the decision makers are, speaking up and out. If nurses do not, someone else who does not know the profession will make decisions for them. And what nurses allow to be given up, they can never reclaim. And one other piece of the humbleness that Senator Franklin has. She wants to give credit to those before her. I can say that my forebears did not have the opportunities that I have, and they were the ones who helped make it possible for me. So I wanted to continue to try and help make it possible for generations that come after me. And I think that's why she's always been willing to come to speak to students and inspire them to try to get them to be more involved in policy. So in conclusion, Senator Franklin's family, her culture, her ethnicity, Her civic activism, her professional roots are all visible through her policy agendas in the Puget Sound region and our state. She's been recognized and received many, many awards for her work. Her public health and social justice approach to policymaking recognized the interconnections among education, housing, social welfare, health, economic policies, the environment. And her life truly does provide a rich example of the often invisible contributions of African-American women to our communities, our society. And she's definitely transcended the barriers of race and gender through her policy agenda. Thank you. And I'm probably out of time, too, right? So questions after.